What page is it on? 515, if 69. Oh boy. Abe. All right, cool. Well, we're continuing our series in the book of Proverbs called Lessons from My Father. And the book of Proverbs, it's refresh your minds, or for some of you who are new, is that the book of Proverbs teaches us how to live our lives out spiritually as well as practically in daily living. Yes, sir?
What is it?
Proverbs chapter 13. And so Proverbs teaches how to live life skillfully, how to deal with everyday events that happen in our lives. And the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, and Solomon is basically writing the things that he learned from his father David. But really, ultimately, spiritually, the book of Proverbs was penned by the heart of God for us, his children. And so many times you're going to see a familiar phrase, my son, listen to my instruction. But, you know, it's also for the ladies in the house, too. It's for you girls. It's a father's heart to their daughters. And what's neat about this, if you learn God's heart about this, if you guys get married and you have children, you'll be instructing your children the same things. You'll maybe be instructing your sons and daughters how to live. So it's a very practical study. So with that, let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, we by faith believe we are in your presence. And since we are in your presence, God, help us to focus our attention upon you and your words and the things that you have for us today. Guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Help us to focus on you. And then when we leave this place, Father, that we would put into practice the things that we have learned. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, teenagers are interesting individuals, especially teenage boys. And it's a wonder that teenage boys live to be men, because we tend to be a little bit reckless. And I heard this story about this teenager, and it's taken from this thing called the Darwin Awards. And the Darwin Awards are awards given to people who do not so smart stuff. Yes, sir. And most of them have died. Well, we have a success story. This person survived. And the story goes, adult survivors of teenage years are well aware teenagers exist in a private world where he already knows everything he needs to know. And here's a story of one teenager who is finally prompted to reconsider his mental acumen or his smartness. Joel? Let's be adults here. You're mid-high. Admit that he is only doesn't know everything. He really doesn't know anything at all. Bugs Bunny, you guys remember Bugs Bunny? There was this scene about Bugs Bunny, and he shows up, and you know, what does Bugs Bunny say when he shows up? Yeah, what's up, Doc? And he was trying to match wits with this gremlin, and at this airbase, and this gremlin was trying to shoot this bomb at the Wascally Wabbit, and he was about to hit it with a big hammer, and of course Bugs Bunny shows up and says, what's up, Doc? And he said, you want to give it a try? And Bugs Bunny's about to hit it, and he said, wait a minute. He stopped and thought for a minute that if he hit that bomb, it would blow up. Well, this young man didn't have the same epiphany as Bugs Bunny. It said this 18-year-old decided he needed money, and he says, probably for beer. I recall being 18 once. The problem now becomes that how to raise money for that said beer. He knew that Brass shell casings could be sold for $1.70 per pound at the Capital Scrap Company in Albany, New York. The trouble was he didn't have an empty brass shell casings, but he did have full brass shells, and he merely needed to empty them, thereby creating scrap metal. Our protagonist began discharging 223 caliber rounds by placing each casing in a steel vise, putting the tip of a screwdriver on the primer, and striking the screwdriver with a hammer. 100 rounds later, the police were called to his home when a bullet penetrated his abdomen about a half inch, and he was treated at the hospital. And he only gained like $6 for all his work. Yeah. And so that goes to teach us that as young, especially you guys, you need to stop and learn to think about consequences. Learn to think, well, if I do this, what will happen? Because a lot of us, especially young teenage guys, and I was one of them, you know, you do things without thinking. And you need to learn to think. And here in our study is called a Heavenly Father's Joy. We're going to learn to stop and think. And it begins by listening to your father's instruction. And so, for as a parent, as well as the heart of God, it is the joy of a parent to see each of their kids walking godly. That's God's joy, to see you seeking after him and desiring to do what is right. And so, in this study, we're going to look at about four things. And first, we're going to learn that listening brings wisdom. Second, we're going to learn that diligence brings wealth. And third, character brings action. And fourthly, righteousness brings satisfaction. And so we're going to look at some various scriptures from Proverbs. Let's read verse 1 together. Chapter 13. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Well, first of all, we're going to learn that listening begins wisdom. And first, wisdom comes from instruction. Everything that you know how to do, somebody had to instruct you. Think about it. It just didn't show up. There was instruction going on. First of all, when you were little babies, and you know, I remember, you know, with my kids, you would teach them how to talk, and you say a word over and over, and they learn to mimic it and say it. And you know, and it's an amazing thing how we learn. You build on one piece on top of another piece on top of another piece on top of another piece, and before you know it, you're building this structure. It's like a brick on each wall for a wall. You build it, and you learn all this stuff. It begins with instruction. And here, God says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction. Heeding is listening to what your father has to say. Your heavenly father, the words of the Bible, and your earthly fathers. Because, you know, the thing is about your parents, they've already traveled adolescence before. They've lived the teenage years before. And they have some wisdom and how to live those lives. They know what it's like to make mistakes, and they don't want to see their children make the same mistakes. And if you're a wise kid, you will listen to them and take into your heart what they have to say. Or if you're a wise kid, you'll be an observer and see somebody mess up and say, you know what, that person messed up that way. I'm not going to walk that path. You know, we have jails full of people who do not learn from instruction. We have jails full of people who do not learn from observation of what of the consequences could be. And what does that do? That costs our society a lot of money. It costs family, people they love, because they're incarcerated. And so we need to be wise. So heed instruction. Paying attention. Let's look at verse 13. He who despises the word, and I'm thinking he's talking about God's word, will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Here, see the contrast? If you despise it, you're going to be destroyed. But if you heed it, you're going to be rewarded. You know, there are rewards to obeying your parents. You know, and it's important to heed God's word. Just hold on to that thought for a minute. You know, I truly believe God's word will save your life. It can save your life if you obey it. It will save you from a lot of heartache. It will save you from a lot of discomfort in your life because you heed it. Now, there are those in the world who don't heed it, and they wonder why their world is all messed up. Because when you are in rebellion against God, it affects all areas of your life. It can affect your finances. It can affect your marriage. It can affect your friendships. It affects different areas. And yeah, there are some people who do not believe in God, and on the outward, they look very successful. You know, they go, wow, they live in Hollywood, and they got these cool cars and all these cool things. But yet, at the end of the day, at the end of the journey, because it's all about the journey, your life here on earth, you're going to stand before God. And we all want to hear the words what God says. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Welcome into the kingdom of your joy. That's what we live for. And so that's important. Abe, you still have that question? Okay. Let's look at the destruction comes to despising wise wisdom. I must warn you. There's a warning in here. Because a lot of you guys have grown up in the church. And there's going to come a time where you're going to grow up and you're not under the umbrella of your parents and you're going to be making your own decisions. Are you going to despise God's word? I know of many people who grown up in the church and they've despised God's word. My wife knows this lady. She has this daughter. She grew up in the church and her decisions are completely ungodly. And she says, well, I'm young and, you know, that's old fashioned. What a big lie of the devil. She's living with her boyfriend. You know, the guy doesn't have the guts to ask her to marry him. I mean, why do you want to hang out with somebody with that kind of character? Or be of somebody of that character? Don't despise God's word because it ends up in destruction. And especially those of you guys who've grown up in the church, you got to make Jesus your own. One day, you got to make Jesus your own faith. You could do it today. You could be committed today. But there's going to become a time where your parents can't drive you to church. You're going to be on your own. You're going to go to college. And you're going to face a whole new world. Right, Sam? It's a whole new world. It's tough. There'll be temptations and stuff. But if you're committed to the Lord, there'll be success. And remember, God doesn't expect you to live, well, he does expect you to live perfectly, but it's not the perfection of your faith, it's the direction of your faith. It's where you're going. Okay, and as I said before, the decisions that we make will have an impact on the lives around us. And if we despise God's words, we will have destruction. But if we fear God's commands, we'll have blessings. Well, like Bugs Bunny, let's think about the consequences of our decisions and think about the next time you want to hammer a bullet. You know, think about those things. And so let's look at diligence brings wealth. Let's look at verse 4. You know, Proverbs is very practical. It has to deal with your life horizontally as well as vertically with the Lord. It deals with our spiritual souls, and it also can deal with the material world. And let's look at verse 4. The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Let's look at verse 7. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. Let's look at verse 8. The random of man's life is his riches, but the poor does not hear rebuke. Verse 11. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Let's look at those verses for now. First of all, our Heavenly Father is reminding us to be diligent. Do you guys know what diligent means? Diligent, diligence. Yes, sir. Working hard. Exactly. And look at that. The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing. What does that mean? The soul is desiring. I wish I had this. Eureka! I mean, yeah, like, hello. You know, there are people who want stuff and they covet stuff, but they're not willing to work for it. What is your job right now? Bingo. Be a good student. Do your homework. Don't whine about it. And believe me, I can understand because I'm in a situation, I'm not in the sweet spot this semester. And, you know, you want to whine about it. You're, you know, you're discouraged. You're not doing as good as you hoped. And
okay, I'm working 40 hours a week for free, okay?
She works 40 hours for free.
For school.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, their uncle is a district manager for Walgreens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. San Antonio?
In Dallas area. If you ever want to move, send you his your resume. But anyway, we got to work hard at it. And I know it's a bummer, but do your homework. Sometimes you have to grab yourself by the scruff of the neck and sit your butt in the chair and do it. And I know it's hard, and I know what the feeling is of when your mind feels cloudy and you don't know how to start and you don't know what to do. But sometimes you just got to get that ball rolling. And once you get that ball rolling, it starts moving. And once it starts moving, you're making progress. You know, it's not supposed to be easy. Yes, Alexis. And you work with one another, and sometimes you teach your friend, and she teaches you, and...
You know, I know this sounds funny, but you could always get up a little early and get it done in the morning, and then you have the whole rest of the day to do what you want.
Sam, you're disgusting. It's just like my wife. She's like that. She gets things done.
I get up early, but I'd rather get up early than have time to myself.
Yeah. And so look for ways that works for you. That's part of your being diligent, being not lazy. Another way is not being lazy is doing your chores around the house. And you know what shows real maturity? Is doing stuff without having to be told. Isn't it? You guys are getting good at that. I noticed that. Keep it up. Do things without having to be told. Your mom has to nag at you. Your dad, just get it done. That's maturity. And see, when you learn these things at home, you're going to carry these things on when you get older, when you get your first job. Your boss is going to take note. That guy's a good employee. I'm going to give him a raise. Wow, this guy gets stuff done. He's going to get a raise. And what does that diligence leads to? What does it say? It says, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. practically, you'll do well in the workplace. Yes, sir.
Even if they, like, work really hard, like, sometimes they get laid off.
Yeah, that does happen.
Like, the guy who doesn't work at all stays.
Sometimes that happens, too. I've seen that. But you know what? God will reward that person. Hard work is always rewarded. Because you know what? That guy will get into another job and he'll be successful. I have a good friend of mine. I work with him now. We used to work across the street and he's an engineer. And he was one of those guys who worked real hard and got laid off. And now he's prospering at the same place we work now. You know, it's not always, you know, sometimes Proverbs, they're general principles. You know, some people work very, very hard, but they're not very wealthy. And it's probably because they're in a job that doesn't allow them to make a lot of money. But, you know, the important thing is the character. That's what God sees. He sees the attitude, the heart, the character. But you can have a job, you get paid lots of money, and you hate it. I've seen that. And, you know, the greatest joy is to do something that you really enjoy and get paid for it. And if it happens to be a lot of money, wow, that's a double blessing. But you know what? God promises he'll meet all your needs. Not greeds, needs. Good point. You reminded me of something. I worked at a job. I got laid off. Oh, I was so bummed. And it was across the street over here, a company called Galton. And you know, and I started at that point, at that period of my life, that's when I began starting to walk with the Lord. And, you know, and I remember when they brought us into the room, it was a drag. They all brought us into the room and they told us the big news, you're getting laid off. And the first thing that came to my mind was Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who are called, who are loved by God and called by God. You know, just all things work together for good. Cool. And so, you know, and they were real gracious. They gave us a nice little severance package. And my boss says, you guys can work on your resumes here at work. You know, you got so much time for your last day and do all those things at work. And so I did. But, you know, the providence of God. Well, about a month or two earlier, I met this guy that I used to work with at another job, and he was working up in Los Alamos. And I said, hey, how's it going, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I had a job, and he said, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing printed circuit boards. Oh, you are? Hey, I know a guy up here is looking for a PCB designer. Oh, really? And so when that happened, I sent my resume to that guy. I got the job. So for 2 months, I went skiing and had time off. This was before I was married. That couldn't happen now. I'd be full panic. But I moved up to Los Alamos, and God did an incredible work in my heart while I was up there. It was there where he led me to go to the School of Ministry and just really pushed me in a direction where seemingly it was such a terrible thing, but it wasn't. God used that situation to move you in an area. And as Sam said, sometimes we get in our little comfort zone and God wants to make you a little bit uncomfortable so you can take a venture of faith. A venture of faith. God wants us to be adventurous at heart through faith. To do things. And so when you're thinking about school, think big. When you're thinking about your career, think big, because you don't know what God's going to do with it. God can use whatever career field you choose to be in. Sam's going to be a pharmacist. What a perfect place. And what a tight spot to be in, because there's a lot of controversy in the field in regards to certain issues. Yeah, you can. But you know what? God enabled her to do that so she could be a blessing to the kingdom of God. See, if God allows you to make a lot of money, he didn't allow you to make a lot of money so you can feed your flesh. He allows you to do it so you can be a blessing to the body of Christ. It's not all self-centered. It's about, Lord, what this money's yours. It's not mine. It's yours. Now, how do you want me to use it? And that's good. Well, we did good there. Kind of went, let's see if we can wrap this baby up. Let's look at verse 6. And we're going to talk about back to wealth. True wealth is not about how much money you have. It's about how much faith and knowledge of God you have. It's about your relationship with God. That is true wealth. Your faith is more precious than what? Think of Peter. It's worth. Can you put a value on it? He says it's worth more than gold. It's worth more than silver. It's precious in the sight of God. Not what we have in our bank account. Yeah. We're in chapter 13. It's priceless, exactly. And so it's not how much greenbacks you have. It's how much faith and trust that you have in God. That is true wealth. Because you know what? You can lose it all, but still have everything. When you have Christ, you have it all. And if God allows you to have both, then you know that much is given and much is required. Much responsibility is given to you. And so, let's go on to committed to righteousness. Let's look at verse 6. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Verse 9, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Verse 10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but the well-advised is wisdom. Well, first of all, when you're committed to righteous, you are blameless before God. There are many people who go to bed with a guilty conscience, and God says, your way could be blameless. First of all, when you ask Jesus into your heart, God declares you righteous. He doesn't look at you as a sinner anymore, even though you act sinfully. God doesn't look at you as a sinner. And that's why the Bible tells us when you sin, confess your sins, and he is faithful and true to forgive you. So you're keeping your relationship with God right by confessing your sins. But God has declared you righteous. The devil will say, well, that Frankie, he's a rascal. He's a sinner. And God will probably say, you're right. But he's righteous because he believes in my son and I gave him his righteousness. That is being blameless. And that's why the psalmist says, happy is the man whose sin is freely forgiven. That's why we have joy. Because God has forgiven us our sins and he has made us righteous. We are blameless. But wickedness overthrows the sinner. I feel sorry for those who think they're righteous because of what they do and they stand before God. Because they're going to see themselves in the light of God's pure holiness and they're going to say, woe is me. They're not going to be able to stand. And so, but we come before God in the righteousness of Christ and not our own. When you're committed to righteousness, you live in the light of God. Remember in 1 John, walk in the light as he is in the light. Walk in the light of God. Do what is right. And I know we're all tempted, and I know we all have temptations and all that stuff, but get back into the light. Meditate on things that are lovely, noble, and pure. Think upon those things. When you are committed to righteousness, you walk in humility and not in pride. Pride comes nothing but strife. A prideful person is a person who thinks they have all the answers. A humble person is one who's willing to seek counsel, to get advice from other godly people. A humble person is one who will say, Lord, I need your help. A prideful person is, I got it all up here, pal. With my wits, my ingenuity, I can do it. But a humble person knows they don't have it all together, and we take it before the Lord, and we take it before the Word of God, and we take it before godly people. A prideful person, as I said, prideful people are self-seeking people. They only think about themselves, and a selfish person causes a lot of strife. Think about it. When you're selfish in the family, what happens? You start fighting with your brother. You start fighting with your sister. You start all this turmoil's happening because somebody's being self-centered. Think about it. You ate my cookie. You know, well, why don't you share your cookie? So, let's move on. When we're committed to righteousness, it will make an impact on our character and impact the lives around us. So let's check it out. Character brings action. Verse 14, the law of the wise, and think of the word picture, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn away from the snares of death. Verse 15, good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Verse 16, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. Verse 18, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he regards the rebuke will be honored. Verse 19, a desire to accomplish is sweet to the soul, but is an abomination to the fools who depart from evil. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So, a quick question. What do you think when you hear the word fountain? What's that? Water fountain. Yeah, nice, cool water that refreshes, that re-energizes a body. The wise, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. God's word energizes our souls. It restores it. It gives us energy. It renews us. We need to drink from that fountain. And then he says, to turn away from that leads to the snares of death. We cannot live without water, can we? How long can we live without water?
7 days.
7 days, is that right, Sam? Everything starts shutting down. We need water, and we need God's word to re-energize and restore our life. And so the law of God is wise because God is all wise. We need to hear that in our lives. The law of God reflects back to us what our righteousness is like. That's what the Ten Commandments, it's, you know, you've heard it. It's like a mirror, and you look at it and you say, whoa, I lack in that area. But that mirror can't change you. You got to do something. And our doing is humbling ourselves before God, submitting to his will. Now let's end up with this. Righteousness brings satisfaction. Let's look at verse 25. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. When we live godly, righteously before God, we have satisfaction. There's no greater joy to know that you're right with God. There's no greater joy than knowing that God loves you. There's no greater joy that you have a hope and a future in God. No greater joy. Hold on to those things. Hold on to those things. It is to joy to God, our Father, that we live a most satisfying life. And it begins by listening to his instructions. It's followed by living diligently. It's followed by allowing his word to transform us and be a part of our character. And this brings satisfaction. That should bring you true joy. And so, before we leave, I'm going to give you the application. Four things to remember, to take away. If there's anything you remember, remember these things. Listen to godly counsel. Listen to your parents. Listen to godly counsel. Be diligent. Do not be lazy. Learn how to be diligent at home, doing your homework, doing your chores. Get it done. Wisdom is doing what you know. That's what wisdom is. It's doing what you know. Knowing how to apply it in your life. If God says, do not steal, the wise thing is not to steal. So, apply it. And finally, the payoff, righteousness brings satisfaction. Righteousness brings satisfaction. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you that you have given us your words, and all your words pertain to life and godliness. Help us to walk in your righteousness. And Lord, and when we fall and we fail, I pray that we would come to you in humility and ask for forgiveness and start walking that path again. We thank you that you will help us walk the journey. We are thankful that you've given us your righteousness. And Lord, we're thankful that you've given us hope. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, God bless you guys.